Good morning. Good morning. We thank God for that wonderful reminder that God's love for us never changes. And when I was just worshiping along with the church, and I was just thinking of God's love, that his love for us is always there. You know, as I was worshiping, I was just thinking of a story that came to my mind. It's about a young boy who was in a ship all alone. He was just traveling in this particular big ship, and when they were approaching the ocean, you know, because of the waves, what was happening, you know, the ship was just getting tossed and quite heavy, and people were a bit afraid. They were afraid, you know, is the ship going to sink? But whereas this boy was calm, he was just enjoying. Probably he was just enjoying going to the dining hall, getting food, but people were just looking outside. They do not know what to do. And then many came to him and asked him, you know, we are surprised. You know, you should be afraid like us, because probably this is the last journey that we will be going through. But the boy said, you know, I'm not afraid. And they asked him why. He said, because my father is the captain of the ship, and he knows the way, and I trust him. I think when we were singing the songs, it just reminded me, because I looked at some of the words. It talks about storms, right? It's storms of our lives, different kinds of storms, right? Different seasons in our life. But the song also said, in all seasons, you know, God's love for us is always there. So my friends, I think we are going to pray today. I believe, you know, some of us are going through difficult moments in our life. Some of us may say, you know, it's wonderful, God has been so good. Some of us are making decisions in our life, right? It's a new month, it's a new season, but always remember, God's love for us is always there for us. Before we pray, I think Catherine did also mention about the prayer card. We know, we as a church, we want to pray for you, we want to support you in prayer. If there are certain prayer requests that you want, you know, myself, my wife, to pray with you, you know, or even the elders to pray with you, just write it, give it to us, it will be treated in such a way that we will, you know, in terms of privacy, we will pray for you confidentially. But if you also want it to be added in the prayer bulletin, which I think the Chinese side and also our side, you know, we rotate. The prayer warriors, you know, they love to pray for you. You know, we will love to pray with you also. Let's spend some time in prayer. Let's take a moment to quieten our hearts before God. What a powerful God we serve. The songs that we just sung today reminds us, whatever season it might be, whatever stage of our lives we might be in, or whatever things that's happening in our lives, nothing can separate God's love for us. The Lord loves us so much that nothing can separate Him loving us. Dear friends, I think we are entering into a new month. We do not know what's going to happen in this particular month, but we know for sure that God is in control of everything. As a church, let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. Father, we just come into your presence, of God. Lord, we do not have words to praise you, Father, because of who you are. Lord, as we look back, the time, Lord, we started our Christian journey, we are just reminded of your faithfulness. We are reminded of your grace. We are reminded of your love. We are reminded, of God, how wonderful this God has been in our lives, and he is still wonderful in our lives. There are moments, of God, that we went through, Lord, loneliness, and you were there as a great companion. And Father, as we ran to you, Lord, for refuge, you were not only our refuge, O God, but you were our strength in times of troubles, in times of need. And we thank you. Even today, God, as a church, we want to pray. As we step into a new month, O God, we do not know, but we know for sure, Lord, that you're with us. So, Lord, whatever challenges that might come across our path, we pray that in Jesus' name that we will be able to meet all these challenges. Lord, if we are going through some difficult moments in our lives, Father, we pray, Lord, take control of everything, Father. And help us, Lord, as your word says, to cast all your worries, all our burdens, O God, on you, because he cares for us. Jesus cares for us. And so, Lord, we pray that help us. And we also want to pray for people, O God, who have to make decisions in their life, probably in their workplace, in their studies, and they are yet to decide, just waiting upon you. Lord, we pray, reveal yourself to them, O God, in this week. May your peace come upon, Lord, as they make decision, and let them know it is you who's leading them. And so, Lord, we pray for each and every person, Father. And we also pray, God, for our church. We want to pray for both our congregation. We just ask you, Lord, to bless each and every person in our church too. And Father, we pray that not only we will receive your blessing, but we want to be a blessing to many, O God, in this community. Because, Lord, the vision of our church is to go into the community, Father. And so, Lord, we pray that, Lord, we will make use of every opportunity that is given to us to bring your gospel through words, through deeds, through actions of God, through our good works, through our prayers. Lord, we pray that we will reach out to people around us, Father, and also reach out to people in our church too. And so, Lord, we pray that you bless our time together. Lord, as we spend some time listening to your word, we pray, God, that you'll speak to us. We want to hear your voice and your voice alone. We pray, God, that nothing will distract us. And we want to be prompted by the Spirit. We want to walk in the steps of the Spirit. We just love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. I think all of you are aware that we have been looking at Paul's writing, and let me read the passage for today. The passage is taken from Philippians chapter 4. You should read it. Philippians chapter 4. I'm sorry, I think the verses are wrong there. Right? Let me read these verses to you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul says, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, right, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace and the God of peace will be with you. We thank God for this opportunity to hear God's word, and we thank God for the word that is given to us. I remember some time ago, many years ago, my wife and I, we went to New Zealand. It's a wonderful place, you know, after 6 o'clock, after 5 o'clock, it's a ghost town there. And so we were there for 10 days, we were driving around. We were driving quite a bit, and when we were driving, there are certain things that we thought it's so wonderful as we were driving along the highway, and then we stopped to see whether it's real or not. And many times, sometimes what happens, it might be true. Certain things can be very misleading, and we realize it looks like it's there, it's real, but when you go there, it is not real. And I believe, you know, many of you are good in swimming, right? And I you know, and when you go to the pools, especially when you see, do not know the depth of the pool. You know, it looks like as if it's just 1 feet or 2 feet, but it's much more. So it can be very deceiving. And when I look at all these things, I realize we live in a world, you know, we are faced with many deceiving things. It deceives us, right? The media and many other things, they tend to deceive us by saying, you know, this is the way you need to go to be successful. This is the choice that you need to make to be happy in your life. This is the way, and this is the right way. You know, that's what many a times we hear, and that's the thing that we tend to read. And so when I look at the world today, the world deceives so many people, right? So many people. But when I look at the scriptures too, even Christians can be deceived. Do you realize? Even when you're in church, you can be deceived. We can be deceived, and even Christians face some kind of deception in their life too. You know, sometimes we feel good when we come to church. That's wonderful, you know, to come to the Lord's house to worship God. That's wonderful. But, you know, Satan works in such a way that he wants to deceive even our Christian walk. And so I think the passage not only talks about it, I think even throughout the scriptures, when you look at it, you know, it's very clear. James 1:22 says, a very powerful reminder, do not merely listen to the word, right? And so deceive yourself. Do what it says. In other words, you might pat your back and say, you know, I came to church today, right? I'm listening to the sermon today. It was nice, you know. It was a good story, nice, good singing, right? When I leave the place, you know, I went to church. Well, after that, nothing happens, right? We don't live alive. And so we are so happy because, you know, I'm involved in ministry in the church. I'm doing whatever it's given to me. I do this, but I don't practice my Christian life. And so that I believe that is one of the greatest deception in the Christian church today. You know, we tend to listen to God's word. We tend to hear God's word. We become very religious, but many a times we lack the spirituality. In other words, we do not. That's why Paul, when James writes, he says, "Do what it says." If you don't do what it says, we are just deceiving ourselves. If we just listen to God's word without doing, my friends, we are just deceiving ourselves. So listening is wonderful, but that is not sufficient, right? Listening and doing, living a life according to the scriptures, that is important for us. And so Paul also writes to this particular church. And to remind, and just before jumping into this text, you know, I was just looking at the words of Christ. You know, Christ mentions quite a lot of things. He talks in Matthew chapter 7, 24 onwards. He reminds us about two builders, right? In verse 24, he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So in other words, not only you listen, but what happens, you know, you tend to do. And in John 13, 17, it says, "Now that you have known these things, you will be blessed." Wonderful if you know God's word. Wonderful to have biblical literacy, right? But you'll be blessed provided if you do them. It also says in Luke chapter 11, you know, if you just keep on reading, you know, Jesus says, you know, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Not just obeying, but also listening and doing according to God's word, right? And in when you look at God's kingdom, it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus said, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Not only they listen, not only they hear God's word, but put it into practice. Some warnings which I also see in the scriptures. It says in Proverbs 19:16, "He who keeps the commandments keeps his law." Soul, but he who is callous of conduct will die. Very interesting word. Another forewarning or warning by the Lord. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. The words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and obey what is written in it, because the time is near. The Lord is coming, right? And we can't escape. And so Revelation talks about it. When John writes the things that they will reveal to him, he reminds us the time is near. And so I think that is one of the greatest deception in the Christian church today. We tend to pet ourselves by saying, you know, we went to church, you know, I just listened, I gave my tithes, I gave my offerings, I took part in the communion, you know, I went for the snack time, it was wonderful, it was nice getting to know people. But I think Christian life is more than that, my friend. It's not just listening, but also doing. And then Paul reminds the church, right, in the last final exhortations, Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And then he says, and the peace of God will be with you. When you look at verses 4 to 9, you know, sometimes we tend to say, you know, look, I want God's peace to be upon me, right? If you look at the verses from this particular passage, not only this particular verse, you realize you can experience God's peace. When Paul speaks about peace of God, he's talking about the supernatural peace. It's only Christ who can give us the peace. And if you read Psalms, you know, David reminds us in Psalm 3, verses 1 to 3, he talks about, you know, even though there are enemies who come against me, I still sleep. I'm able to have a nice and a peaceful time of rest. And that's the kind of peace, you know, David is talking about. And so I think all of us want peace. The peace that everything is under control. Peace knowing that even though the storms are there, like the small boy, you know, the climate might be totally different against me. It might be raining. The weather might be bad. Things in my life can be beyond control, but God is there. And then the peace of God comes, you know, only when we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you know, I have faith in Jesus Christ. I am justified by faith. I'm forgiven. You know, that kind of peace. It's not peace, you know, I just ask God, He gives me, provided I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, provided I'm forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, you know, it also says that I'm walking by the Spirit. When I'm walking, right, together with the Spirit of God and God helping me, I experience the peace of God. And so Paul is just reminding in this particular passage, you know, all of us can have that peace. It's not just calm, right? We can have peace. But then he says, you know, how can someone can have peace? Not just by listening. He goes beyond listening. He says, whatever we have listened, we need to be putting into practice. Three things which I like to mention from this particular passage. Firstly, you know, Paul says, right thinking leads to right living, right? And so if you look at the from 4 to 9, you know, Paul starts by saying, you know, you need to think right, right? He says, you need finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, right? If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, yes, you can have peace. You can have calm. You can know that everything is in control. It's not that just God wants to give you peace. You know, Paul says, the Lord will give us, provided we too, you know, play our role, right? First of all, I said, first, you know, we need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He also talks about the right thinking, the way that each and every one of us have to be thinking. And so Paul mentions, you know, in the Greek text, it's very interesting. It comes in a very plural category. You know, when Paul uses the word, for example, I'm not going to dwell into this particular thinking. No, he says, whatever it's true, right? In other words, it's the opposite word is dishonest, right? So whatever you do, things that are dishonest. So it's a broader thing Paul talks about. In other words, he's saying, no, you need to have a right thinking, right? Thing which is noble, right, pure, lovely, you know, godly thoughts, things that God wants us to think about. And so he's saying, you know, our minds are important, things which are excellent before God. I think our thought life is very important in our lives. I think if you go into your group study, this the words Paul is using, what are the pure things, you know, lovely things and all that, you know. He says, the things that are excellent to God, the things that doesn't go against God's standards, that are in line to God's teachings, in line to God's attributes or even characters. Think of all these things. Think of the good things. Think of God's mercy. Think of love. Think of kindness. And that's the way Paul is saying, because, you know, whatever you think, it is going to affect your living. Right? So if you think differently, you know, your life will also be affected accordingly. Right? If you, when you look at verse 9, very interestingly in the Greek text, you know, when you look at verse 9, you know, in the Greek text, you know, the verse 8 and 9 are very related to one another. So when Paul writes this particular text, he's saying that, you know, whatever I think, it is going to affect my actions. So if I'm thinking of good things, you know, Lord, I want to be doing good things. I want to think of wonderful things, you know, that will please you. You know, it tends to affect our actions. And so our right thoughts are important. And so Paul reminds us, you know, to think the things that God wants us, you know, to think in our lives. And so I think that is important. I think you cannot separate, right? You cannot, you know, a good fruit will always, a good tree will always bear good fruit, right? A bad tree always bears a bad fruit. And so Paul reminds the church, I think it's important for us to think of the things that God wants us to do. And secondly, you know, if you look at it, it also says, as in verse 9, right, as I told you, because it involves our action too, because whatever we think, right, it involves our action. That's why if you read in Ephesians 5:6, you know, Paul writes to the church, right, and Paul says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, because some of us might think, you know, this is fine, this way of life, it's fine with me, it's okay with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes to the church in Ephesians by saying, you know, do not be deceived by the immoral ways of life. And so he warns the church, this particular Christians. And when Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13, right, to the suffering Christians who were scattered in Asia Minor, you know, in 1 Peter 1, 13, he says, you know, to be, your mind has to be mentally alert, fully sober, right? Set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be alert. Think. We have a sober mind, because it is going to affect the way you live in this world. So, our thoughts are important. So as in terms of application, we need to ask ourselves, what are we thinking each and every day? I'm not talking about, you know, that we shouldn't think about our work and all that. It's wonderful. But are we thinking, even in our workplace, you know, I want to be truthful, right? I want to do what is right. I want to do what is morally correct in my workplace, what is pure, what is lovely, you know? And so that's the way Paul says. So when I want to be truthful, what happens? I know I'm very sincere in my work, right? Whatever is poor, I want to be morally right in whatever people I'm actually engaging with. And so that's the way Paul writes. And so it's important. So does our thought life, you know, match our living? It's important, my friend, what we think. Because when we think right things, God's peace comes upon us. Secondly, Paul also mentions in this particular passage, he talks about, very interestingly, he talks about right teaching leads us to right practice, right? He says, whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. So right teachings are important, right? Why do we come to church? Not only to fellowship, you know, we want to hear God's word. And I think we want to hear sound teaching, good teaching. We want to hear what the word of God is trying to tell us. And so it is important for us, you know, there are, you know, it's important for us to hear about sin. It's important for us to hear about God's judgment, about God's wrath, about God's second coming. It's not about grace. And I think sometimes when I look at, you know, sometimes when we look at certain things that happens in churches today, there's a lot of more emphasis on the grace of God, which is wonderful. I don't question the grace of God. Equally, it's important, you know, to look at the other things, the just of God, you know, the other attributes of God, you know, the love of God, the wrath of God, sin, judgment, the second coming, and all that. They are also equally important. As I told you before, I love Peter's sermon, because when Peter rose and spoke, he gave a wonderful sermon. He spoke about God's love. He spoke about sin. He spoke about, you know, the judgment. He spoke about Christian living. He spoke about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful sermon by Peter. So Paul says, you know, right teaching is important. So whatever you have learned, received — the word received is a very technical term — so whatever was just given to you as doctrine, as teaching, whatever you have heard from me or seen in me. In other words, Paul did not only teach, right? He was also teaching by his example. It's easy for us to teach. It's easy for us, you know, to lead a group or to even preach. But Paul, when he uses the word, what you heard from me — very interesting, when I was just looking at the particular word and trying to understand what scholars were trying to say, Paul was saying, you know, when Paul uses the word heard, he was using it in a very different way. In other words, Paul was saying, you know, you guys have heard about me from other people, right? About my life, about my testimony, about my teaching. And that's the way Paul is saying. It's not that you hear me because I speak to you. You have heard about me from others, the way I've lived my life, consistent. I'm not living a life different here and another part of the world. I'm living a different life altogether. Consistent living, model. I'm a great example. I think whatever you have heard from me, not just by my lips, but from others, what you have seen in me. I think it's important. So Paul reminds the church again and again the importance of sound doctrine. And so when he writes to the young minister Timothy, now Paul writes Timothy — if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about sound doctrine, and he says in verse 14 to guard them. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 3 onwards, you know, he says, you know, the days will come when people will not want to hear sound doctrine. They want to hear things which is just pleasing to their lives, to their ears. If you read that particular passage, it's interesting. You know, the days will come, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, right? They don't want sound doctrine. They don't want sound teaching. They just want to hear, you know, what they want to hear, period. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about judgment. They want to hear what is just appealing to them, what is interesting to them, what is nice and what is good. And so I think we need to be very careful too in our churches, right? I think it's not just the grace of God. We need to be hearing about sin, about salvation, about justification, about sanctified living, about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, about the wrath of God, about heaven and hell, you know, all these things. I think so, sound teaching. And then I think he also says, you know, because sound teaching will also help us, you know, to have a right action in terms of our life. And lastly, let me finish with this. Paul also says right practice requires right decisions. You know, you might think, you know, pastor, it's all wonderful, right? Right thinking, good, right? I'm thinking good things, good. You know, and you might say, you know, right teaching, yes, I'm hearing teaching, I'm reading good books, wonderful books, you know, they're great, and I'm just been encouraged. But then Paul also says, you know, in verse 5, he says, put into practice. Very interestingly, when Paul writes his particular word, you know, when I look at the Greek text, you know, it is, Paul uses a word which means that, you know, it's your choice, it's your decision, whether you want to do it or not. We have heard so many sermons in this church from this pulpit, right? From different pastors. We have heard. But Paul says, put it into practice. In other words, he's actually calling the church, you know, I'm just pleading with you, Right? I'm appealing to you, put it into practice. Right thinking. Yes, it's wonderful. As Christians, I know you're wonderful. You're giving to our ministry. You're generous. He reminds the church, you're a wonderful church just supporting my ministry. You're thinking of good things. Yes, good. Right? And you're hearing good teachings because you have seen it in me. I've given it to you. But then Paul also says, you know, it calls for a decision. You need to be making right decision because right practice requires right decisions, my friend. We need to make the right decisions. I think even prayer is a decision that we need to make. Just an example, let me just show with you. With this particular passage, as I told you, you know, when Paul writes about prayer, it's also about, you know, he says prayer is also a decision kind of a thing, right? It's up to you whether you want to pray or not, right? It's up to us whether we want to read God's word or not. It's up to us whether we want to live this way that God wants us. So when he talks about prayer, he also says three words that he uses about prayer. No, he uses the word prayer, petition, and then he also says thanksgiving. In other words, you know, he emphasizes about it. You know, we can pray as any other people. We can just pray a general address, which just Lord bless this, you know, do this and that. But are we petitioning things to God? In other words, are we making some kind of supplication before God? Very specific, asking God, Lord, we need you. Lord, I'm fasting. I'm denying myself from food because I want you to hear these things. You know, this is me. And are we specific in terms of our need? And when we go to God, are we saying, you know, thanksgiving? Are we saying, you know, thanking God for all the answered prayers, right? Are we remembering God's blessings, even in our prayer, as 1 Thessalonians speaks about it, my friend? And so, you know, we can say, Lord, you're wonderful, but do we really mean? And so it also calls for us. So, dear friends, I think, you know, it's important for us, you know, right thinking. But then your right thinking should help us to lead to right action, provided we make the right choice. The right teaching we have heard, we have seen, we have read, we have touched, we have dwelt, it also calls for decision, whether we want to make the right decision. Let me just say this and I'll be done, because we have communion today. And when I was just reading this, I was thinking of this particular story. I think some of you might have read this when you were young and all that, you know, Alice the Wonderland. Alice the Wonderland, you know, there was a time, I think, she was coming in this particular story. You know, she comes and she sees the cat, the Cheshire cat, that was sitting on the tree. And so Alice comes to the road and she sees a crossroad. She doesn't know where to go. And so she sees the cat, and these are the words of Alice. She says, you know, and she asks the cat, you know, what road do I take? Because I'm at a crossroad. I do not know what road do I need to take. And so the cat, you know, answers by saying, you know, where do you want to go? And Ellie says, I don't know. Where do you want to go? And she says, I do not know. And the cat replies, then it really doesn't matter which road you take. Then it doesn't matter which road you take. It's up to you, right? You know, sometimes, you know, when I was just reading this particular story or this particular words, you know, sometimes, you know, we just want to live the way we want to live. Right? We just want to live the way we just want to live, my friend. But Christian life is not like that. If you want to experience God's peace, if you can smile, if you want to smile at the storm, if you want to enjoy the presence of God in your life daily, knowing that everything is under control, whatever happens in this world, right, things might change against me, but I know that I have the peace of God because the Lord is in me. At the same time, you know, even in all these situations, the Lord is helping me to think of good things, right things, wonderful things, godly things, because I know when I think of these things, you know, I'm telling God, Lord, you are in control, and I know your goodness, and I trust that you will carry me through. the same time, Lord, I just still want to hear things. If it's sin, talk to me about sin. If it's about judgment, talk to me about judgment. If it's about grace, talk to me about grace. It's not just grace alone. It's not just love alone. The Bible speaks about sin, about judgment, about the second coming of God, you know, of Christ, the day that we will stand at the judgment seat and answer all the things that we have done in this world. Right? And so, when we know and we hear and we start doing in our lives, my friend, let me tell you, whatever happens, you know, we will be at peace. We're going to spend some time in prayer. But I think peace starts only when we start having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that I just spoke to you, it's a supernatural peace, my friend. It's only Christ who can give us the peace, not the world, not the things around us. If you have not made a decision by saying, Lord, I just want to have a relationship with you. I want your peace. I want Jesus to come into my heart, to touch me. You know, it's important for us. That's the way you start your peace journey. Let's pray. I believe, you know, there was a time in your life you said, Lord, I want to have peace with you. I want to have a relationship with you, Lord. I want to be justified by my faith. That's wonderful, my friend. That's the first step that you have made in our Christian life and commitment. If not, let me encourage you or even challenge you today. If you want to have that peace, it's only Christ. The world's peace is very temporal. Like the fog that we saw in the morning, it goes off. The peace that Jesus gives is lasting. You can smile at difficulties, as at challenging moments in your life, because you know that He is with you. You have not made a decision to, by saying, Lord, I want to have peace with you. Let me encourage you. Tell God, Lord, I want to have peace with you. I want to give my life to you. I want to surrender my life to you, Lord. If you have made that peace, let me encourage you. Start thinking the things that God wants you to think. Because what you think, what goes into your mind, affects your living. Think of God's goodness, pure things, lovely things. There are six things, you know, Paul reminds the church. Start thinking the things that God wants us to think. And not only that, and tell God, Lord, help me, Lord, to do the things that I've thought. And let me encourage you also, my friend. Yes, we want to hear good sermons about God's grace and God's love. That's wonderful. But when you hear about sin, if the Lord convicts us, we need to repent. If the Lord reveals to us, we need to surrender our lives to God. Sound teaching, sound doctrine is important. Are we making the right choices? Sometimes we know all these things, but are we doing the right choice? By saying, I'm going to live this way. You know something? The Lord is always there to help us. Father, we come into your presence, O God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can have peace in this world. We thank you, Lord, we can know that everything is in control when our lives are controlled by you or taken care by you. And so, Lord, we pray, God, help us not only just to become a Christian, but to live a life of a Christian, to live out our salvation, Father. Help us, Lord, in our thoughts, because many times, oh God, it ruins our life. Help us, oh Lord, to learn from your word. And teach us each and every day, God. Mold us with your word. And help us, oh Lord, to make the right choices. Choices that will please you and you alone. We just love you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.